Everybody, welcome to Wednesday Sportsline, the Bulldog Hour. Cap Maury alongside, as always, we'll take it at three, hand it off to our good friend Phil Benatti. His outstanding show, Behind the Bench, normally 3 hours, shortened to 45 minutes today because the Lakers come up at 3:45 from Cleveland and what, in theory, could be the last time LeBron plays in front of his hometown crowd. I don't think that's going to be the case, but we'll see. He does have a contract decision to make at the end of the year, and that'll be an important game for him no matter what. But if it happens to be the last one back at home in Cleveland, a very big deal. By the way, that odd trivia question-answer, the fact that LeBron and Steph Curry were both born at the same hospital in Akron is still astounding when you think about it, because you don't think of Steph as being anywhere around Akron, Ohio, but that's where Del Curry was at the time, and that's how we ended up with both of them from the same hospital, which is pretty extraordinary. Anyway, Lakers coming up a little bit later on. I'll tell you about the schedule for both 1430 and 790 a little bit later. Jack Ferdy with me as always on a Wednesday to talk basketball. Get to Jack in just a moment, but the schedule will be brought to you later on in the show by Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape, architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisieng.net for more information. And when we go over the schedule, I'll tell you about all the great fundraising Ed does for his alma mater, Fresno State, through the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. A couple other reminders before Jack comes up to talk B-ball with us. One, I want to remind you about the great new deal going on at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. It is the $5 bowls. You have the choice of classic or spicy either way for just $5. You have creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, and crispy nuggets all stacked in one bowl. Just a terrific offer. If you want the classic, that's great. If not, you can go a little bit more bold, a little bit more spice, and that is also available. So either way, classic or spicy right there. Also, you have the $5 Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Gravy Bowl. That's crispy nuggets, rich gravy, and plenty of cheese. No shortcuts there either. Big flavor, big comfort, and just $5. This is only for a limited time at the local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And one more time, we thank them for all the support for athletics throughout the Valley. And if you stop in, please mention it to them that everything they do throughout the Valley is much appreciated. Thanks to those local KFCs. And then finally, our friends and longtime friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing allow me the time every day to tell you about the weather. Again, terrific local people, been in the Central Valley and NorCal since 1981. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them to do work even during COVID. Very competitive pricing, very professional people, and you can reach them at any point, leesair.com or 825-5337-825 Lees. Also, they sponsor the Lees Air Hotline. That's how we'll bring Jack Furtig up in a moment, and how Phil not only brings up his guests, but callers from the general public. So mark that down, the leesair.com hotline, 559-320-1430. As far as forecast goes, we are a little bit warmer than normal, but I've said this over and over again. As we close in on February, winter, which isn't much here to begin with, seems to disappear. And right now, though we could use a little more rain outside of the fog in the morning, and I know that's always a danger, this is a terrific forecast. A 64 today, a low of 43. There is a dense fog advisory until noon tomorrow that's been holding all week long, so be careful, particularly in the outlying areas. Then we fall to 59 tomorrow, but then after that, we have the string of 60, 62 Friday, 65 on Saturday, 66 Sunday, 65 Monday, 66 Tuesday, and the extended, the 10-day, shows 68 Wednesday, 72 on Thursday, a week from tomorrow, and a 70 a week from Friday. And at that point, over the weekend, we end up in February, and it may very well be that there's going to be no looking back in regard to the heat coming back from a comfortable standpoint in February. The only thing is, other than the ever-present fog, we could use more rain. We were about twice the seasonal average going into this month, But again, love to see the reservoirs filled and everything ready to go, not only for agriculture, but for residential creature comfort, because we all know what it's like if we end up with those drought conditions. So far, so good this year. Hopefully, we're going to get a little bit more rain, and it won't be at a time when it gets in the way of the crops. Anyway, thanks, everybody, at Lee's. Lee'sAir.com, 825-5337, 825-Lee's. Anything you need, central air, heating, plumbing, or roofing. Now on the Lee's Air hotline, 559-320-1430, our longtime friend and outstanding basketball analyst, it is Jack Furtick. Jack, how you doing? Is Jack there, or do we need to break the line here and come back up? You can let me know here. I would appreciate it. Okay, Jack, do you hear me? Well, I'll tell you what, Jorge, let's do this. Let's go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll meet Jack coming off the break. Bulldog Hour continues on this Wednesday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Hi, buddy. Welcome back. 2:15. We'll be with you straight through now until 55 after, so uninterrupted for the next 40 minutes. Be talking to Jack Furtick. A couple of things to address here before I bring Jack up an email and two M's, M&M with us, with Morton and Mervin, who had two questions I want to address very quickly. One, Mervin, you brought up Bill Belichick. Phil may have time to talk about it, not being a first ballot Hall of Famer. Two things about this. One, when you anger people in different areas, which Belichick did with some of the stuff that went on with the Patriots that might not have been terribly ethical, all right, depends upon your point of view. The only way they're going to pay you back is by delaying your entrance into the hall. It will just be one more time, and he'll be in. The other thing is, and I've mentioned this over and over again, Willie Mays was not a unanimous selection in the Baseball Hall of Fame. So that will tell you that politics tend to work their way into the hall. And I'm not talking about Barry Bonds and that stuff. I'm just saying that sometimes agendas, whatever they might be, manifest themselves when it's time for the Hall of Fame. And so Belichick deserved to be in, but he's just going to have to wait one more time to get there. The other thing for Morton was a question about what we had brought up in regard to the Warriors and Giannis before Butler got hurt. And at that time, Bobby Marks, who used to be in the front office with the Nets, had said if the Warriors were willing to couple draft choices, probably three number ones, they could actually give up the four because they have all their draft choices that they wanted now. And Draymond Green, Buddy Hield, mainly for salary considerations, and Kuminga at that point, that might have been good enough to get it done. Now with the war, with Kuminga coming to full boil, that in fact, Green has not played well, Hield has not played well, Butler is hurt, that more than likely that would be not good enough for the Bucks, no matter what Giannis would want, because Giannis has to sign off on this, otherwise there's no guarantee he will re-sign with somebody, so they won't take him on. The Warriors are probably have to include Butler now, coming off the injury, and whether that would be good enough or not, whether they would want to do it, whether they want to sacrifice all of their future, I don't know. There are other better landing places for Giannis and probably other better deals for the Bucks themselves. The only issue is if Giannis really wants to go to a given place, his sway, much like Durant going to Houston, will carry the day. So stay tuned, since now it's all public that he wants out as of today. We knew that already, but it was made formally clear today. All right, all that having been said, let's bring Jack up right now to talk basketball, Fresno State, and other areas. Jack, how you doing?
On the mend. Doing pretty well, though.
Well, I was going to ask you, I know it has been a rocky road for you. Everything working out okay here after that latest hip replacement?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I had hip replacement, and coming out of the surgery, my blood pressure was 60 over 40. So they thought that was a tad low. So they kept me in. I was supposed to be, I think the surgery was 6:30, 7:30. I thought I'd be home by like 10. I didn't get home till 4 because they had to keep pumping me full of fluids to get my blood pressure up. Then it was on a Friday, and they said, normally we want you to walk, but because of your situation, because the blood pressure was so low, we don't want you to do anything for the whole weekend. I met with my Bulldog Foundation guys. I went walking in there on Monday morning, and they said, one said, you know, you don't look so good. And when somebody who's over 90 tells you you don't look so good, that's called
that's a high bar.
Right there.
Yeah,
that's so,
a very high bar.
Sure
yeah.
enough, I said, you know, I felt fine. 15 minutes later, I was unresponsive. Luckily, I was with them, and they didn't let me fall over. Called 911, and I went in. So next thing I knew, I was unresponsive when the EMTs got there. I went in. Next thing I know, I was in an ambulance. Luckily, we meet at Uncle Harry's at first in Herndon. So when I said,
your
what's
blood,
going on?
Yeah.
They said, your blood pressure is 80 over 40. We're taking you to St. Agnes. I said, well, at least you don't have a long ride. You know, it's just a block away. And I went in there and stayed overnight, and they gave me a blood transfusion and pumped me still full of fluids, got my blood pressure up. And since then, I've been, I got released the next day after an ultrasound, 2 o'clock. I, you know, came home, and now I've been trying to recuperate and get rid of this walker. I have physical therapy coming in to the house for a couple weeks. And then I'll be good as old.
Well, look, I'm glad it's worked out okay. And as you and I were talking privately, a lot of our lives, the two of us have a similar path. This one was the yin or the yang. You had that blood pressure at 60. I mentioned you and that very bad night in 2012. I went into emergency and my blood pressure was, I had the 273. And I told you, the nurse, the admitting nurse said, you shouldn't be here. I said, I don't feel well. She said, no, you should be dead.
Right.
She showed
yeah.
me what the readout was. And my response, as I told you, was 273. You've got to admit, that's one hell of a bowling score. And that woman looked at me as though I had lost my ever-loving mind, which my wife backed that statement up, saying he's been out of his ever-loving mind ever since I've known him, which now has been 43 wonderful years of marital bliss. And I don't know if that has anything to do with the 273 blood pressure. You married men out there can draw your own conclusion. I'm in enough trouble. Anyway, Jack, I'm glad you're feeling better, and I do appreciate the fact that you come on air. No matter how badly impaired you might be physically, you are a true warrior in every sense of the word in regard to broadcasting. Though you and I know what real warriors are about, and I'm not talking about the ones up in the Bay Area. I'm talking about the ones that actually go into battle. We have a tendency in sport, as you know, to equate military stuff that... No means. By no means
air, coming on the air basically is speaking. And I remember one time I was interviewing for a head coaching job, and a guy said to me, you know, there's more than just coaching here. There's a lot of speaking. You have to talk to the media. You have to talk to the boosters. You have to talk to the donors. Do you have a problem with speaking? I said, I don't have a problem with speaking. I have a problem with stopping. So I didn't get the job, but the guy thought it was a pretty good line. And coming on the air, you know, I mean, sitting here in a glider in on my back patio, it's not very difficult. And I enjoy speaking about the dogs and trying to educate people on some things that they may not know or may think they know that they really don't. Or, you know, I mean, I have a little more in, you know, being as close to John Welch as I've been, you know, having worked with him for 7 years. So, I'd like to impart some of that knowledge that, you know, John gives me and some that I've had over my past career and, you know, try to make it a little entertaining and sometimes amusing.
And you do a great job of it. And also, let's be honest about it, sitting on your patio in mid-60s weather versus being anywhere else in the country where it's 20 below with a wind chill. It's always, let's just say you would not want to be in Bristol, Connecticut, where the biggest challenge at ESPN right now is, as we've talked, putting a lawn chair or something on top of your car so you can find your car when you come out of the snowdrift afterwards. I'm just saying that's why we live out here. And I've told you this before, and I'll say it again. The Ronald Reagan line, if the pilgrims would have landed on the West Coast, the East Coast would still be undeveloped territory to this day.
You're right there. Boy, I'll tell you, my in-laws live in Nashville, and they haven't had power for 4 days.
Yeah.
So many of them, you know, checked into hotels and go back and forth and check on their house and make sure it's okay. So we have it pretty good out here.
There's no doubt. The fog is always a problem. But as far as natural disaster, we, particularly in the middle of the state, do not deal even with the coast, with what the coast does out here. But it's why there are 40 million of us in this state, that's for sure. Now, Jack, you brought up something that inadvertently swerves to what I want to ask you about. You talked about, you know, interviewing or talking to somebody about a job potentially. I wanted to ask you this because you're someone who has had been on both ends of this. You've been on committees as a people trying to pass judgment about a search for somebody. You've also been interviewed for jobs, for coaching jobs. If you were in this day and age to be, never mind in front of a committee, because you've mentioned to me sometimes with the committee you say pick and roll and they think you're John Wooden. If you were in a situation where you had reached a point right now in 2026 where you were interviewing in front of the athletic director and then the university president, would you, as much as you would talk about your resume and answer questions about what's on that resume, would you be talking about your ability to bring funds into the program? Would you be talking more a la Lane Kiffin with his, you know, rather interesting comment that he doesn't even know what his contract is, but he definitely knows how much money the university is prepared to spend on NIL? Jack, would you be talking up what you could bring in? Would you be asking more questions about what they could bring in to you? Is it a shared responsibility? Where does NIL sit above and beyond, or at least parallel to, your ability to coach with X's and O's these days?
Well, it depends on the power struggle. If you have the power like Lane Kiffin, you're going to ask how much the school has and what they're going to be doing to help you be successful. If you don't and you're looking, you want the job and the school has the power because they're going to decide if they want you or not, as opposed to Lane Kiffin, who they wanted, and they were trying to hope they didn't screw up the interview. If you're there hoping you don't screw up the interview, there are two things that you're going to talk about. One is going to be how much NIL money you can generate and where you can get it from, so it's not just a pie-in-the-sky dream,
right,
and how connected you are in the transfer portal, or how connected you are, let's say, to international players, because that's the only thing that matters. Coaches, and I think this is one of the problems that Vance has now. Vance is a coach for when you were coaching. Now it's not really coaching as much as it is getting money, developing players, but making sure you have money to keep those players because they're going to demand more as they get better, and getting players to come in because you know you're going to have a major turnover every year in your roster, you know, unless you get to be, you know, Duke or, you know, somebody like that, and then you have to worry about guys going pro. You know, I mean, even Duke has Boozer's son, both of them, but the one in particular, Cameron, who's going to be a high draft pick this year. They had him for a year. So what you have to do when you're, you know, I mean, in Vance's case, Vance's big thing was getting buy-in from players, having long relationships with players, and developing them, and then getting a unit together, or in his case, usually two units, because he played 10 or 11 guys, and putting pressure on another team and wearing them down, and, you know, continuing that in a dynasty type of situation. Now, that's not the case. Now, I mean, look at this year. He brought in like 13 guys this year. And next year, it looks like it's going to be the same, because if you win, the players are going to leave. I mean, last year they lost and the players left. So you're going to have to turn over your roster, or you're going to have to get mega money to keep the guys to make sure you can match. I mean, I think the guys, let's say at Fresno State, let's say Gorey, for example, because that's kind of the you know, elephant in the room if they're talking about transfer portal for next year. I think Gorey really likes it here. From all indications, I've never met him, but I mean, all indications, what people tell me, he really likes it here, and why wouldn't he? He's having a great year, and I'm sure he's being treated well. I'm sure he's making friends. This is, you know, he's a young guy. He's a freshman. He has some money, but he's going to be due a big raise, let's say, in today's parlance. I think if they can match or even come close, not even match, maybe a little less, if they could come close, I'm sure he'd stay here. But that's what today's coaching situation is. So in answer to your question, if I go to interview for a job today, the main thing I'm saying is here's how much NIL money I can bring in, and here's where it's coming from to make sure it's all legal. And two, here's how I can bring in players, whether it be transfer portal, whether it be connections to high school and junior college coaches, or whether it be overseas.
And Jack, and I understand fully well that priority list, and I think you're right. Unless you're Lane Kiffin, at the very least, you're going to hope from mutuality that the university is going to tell you also what resources they have. But if push comes to shove, if you want them more than they want you, it's the only option you have. You have to point that out. But it also does point up to two other things. One, I want to go back to the last Warrior title, the one in 2022, and Al Horford, who happens to be a Warrior right now, talking about what was a physically superior roster. There's no question about it, that the roster of the Celtics was a lot better. And they asked Horford afterward how the Celtics managed to lose that series. And he said, because the Warriors had the one thing we did not have, which was corporate knowledge. He said, they've had guys that have played together for so long that they know exactly, from a Thompson, Curry, and Green in particular. He said they know what they're doing without even having to think about it. And he said it is so difficult, particularly when you're doubling one guy, Curry, to try to defend that when they're just one step ahead of you because of familiarity. Jack, I think about that now. That's a nuance. Has nuance then gone out of the building? Meaning, no matter how great a coach you are with X's and O's, as you're mentioning, Is nuance a bygone era kind of thing that you just can't have that anymore, even if you've got unselfish players, willing passers, everybody who'd love to play within the structure you're putting out there? You just can't keep them together long enough, which means you have to change your approach, that you got to be an isolation kind of offense, or you got to be a run and gun. You can't get into nuance. Is that the cold, hard truth right now? Because that's what Vance's system is. As you know, it's a nuanced system. The more you run it, the better you are in it.
Exactly. Right. I think yes. The answer to that question is yes.
Man, that's tough.
I don't see any way to negate it. Yeah, sure. I mean, look at how can you expect last year's team and this year's team to have any kind of what you're saying corporate identity because they're brand new. They're brand new. And even next year, if you look at it, you're still losing Hybreeder and Foss and Manny. So, you know, those are three guys that are key to your system. Now you're going to have to try to replace them, and you're going to replace them with brand new guys. And once again, where's the nuance from? You know, you lose it. You have to start all over. And I think that's what college athletics has become. If you look at it, it's crazy. You listen to announcers now, and they say, let's say in a football game, a quarterback transfer from so-and-so throws the ball out to the flat to so-and-so, who transferred from there, and he gets a good block from the tackle who transferred from, and everybody transferred from somewhere. You know, I mean, every once in a while you get a guy who stays who's been there. But, I mean, you look at, I think, all Final Four teams – in college this year had transfer quarterbacks, didn't they? Carson Beck transferred, and Mendoza transferred.
The Mendoza is actually a Cal graduate now, technically, because he went ahead and finished the degree there in the offseason. But, Jack, here's the flip side of this that I wanted to get to today. Okay, that makes it so difficult to put together the kind of system that is sustainable over the years, also the kind of system where your fan base can really grasp what's going on because they're seeing it, and that's another part of it. But the flip side of it is this. If you are an administration anywhere, and I'm not referencing here alone, but anywhere, and you say, you know what, there is this assistant coach somewhere across the country, and he is an X's and O's wizard, and we think that he is just going to be a terrific coach, understanding the game, how to play it, how it needs to be administered, all of that. If the reality is that he comes in and says, well, you know what, I'm new to the area here, and I had some NIL money that my other coach had, but that was related to the geographic area we're at, you know, maybe a big car dealer in the southeast or whatever, right? I don't have any NIL money here, but I can coach the wheels off of this thing. Jack, even if you want to get rid of the coach you have, if the coach you have has money coming in and money promised for the next year, does that not then tie your hands in that regard that you just can't make a move? Isn't that also the reality of this?
Well, sure, the guy you're talking about, you're not looking for great coaches anymore. You're looking for guys who can bring in talent, can coach a different team each year, and have money who can bring in, you know, the guys down. And it's not how much money you have. It's making sure you're paying the right guys. You have to give the right money to the right guys. And if you don't do it, then, you know, you're stuck because you're paying, it's dead money. It's money that you could have used somewhere else, or maybe you just don't have enough to get what you want. I know I talked with Jerry McCune, who's very close with Vance and the program, and he said there were players that we could have had, but we just didn't have the money for them. So that's you know, what you have to do. You have to go to who's next on your list and make sure it's the right guy. You got to give money to – you got to have money, and you got to give it to the right people.
Well, a guy like Dory, for instance, you know, we've heard the $4 million mark tossed around. And again, that sounds like a substantial amount of money. It certainly would be for Fresno State if it does come in from an outside source. It pales in comparison, however, never mind in conference, to what's going on across the country. So, I mean, you know, Pat Hill, Pat's a great friend of both of ours. Pat talked about it in regard to the draft in the NFL, where, of course, you have to deal with salary cap. But he talked about people don't understand that in the draft, when you are drafting position, you have position slotting, meaning you have slotted amount of monies for those given positions. So he said, if you've got to go after somebody and use the bulk of your money that has been slotted that position, safety, whatever it might be, you can't spend it for another one. You can't, so you lose your depth. If you have to spend an untold amount of money to keep Gory, does it ultimately become self-defeating if you lose everybody else because of it, Jack? Where maybe an Alabama does not, but a Fresno State does because they don't have that unlimited resource.
Well, sure, that's what happened last year with Price. I mean, Vance loved Price. He said he was a great culture guy. Elijah Price was one of the best rebounders in the country. Vance just said, look, he got offered $308,000 from Nevada. I just didn't think that a guy who shot 55% from the free throw line, 17% from three, and, you know, what, a 43 or whatever it was from the floor was worth $390,000, even though he's the guy that you want to kind of build your team around, just couldn't afford it. I mean, it's just, you know, it's one of those things. You fall in love with a car and you want to get that car, and they give you the price tag. You say, you know what? I just can't afford it. Well, that's how it goes now. And that's what schools at this level are looking at, because you don't have Kentucky's $22 million budget for your NIL. You know, if you have unlimited money, you still have to give it to the right guys. I would look at Kentucky. They're not number one in the country, and yet I think they have the biggest budget. You have to give it to the right guys. You have to have it first. Then you have to give it to the right guys. And in terms of a guy like Gory, yeah, there's going to be a decision that has to be made. How much, like Pat said, how much can we slot for that position? And that position being that person. And if you know, it's over what you can afford, then fine. If you can, you know, say, look, why don't you stay here for a couple $100,000 less? You know, I've heard Gorey's money next year to be between 350 and 700 that you know, he can get because he has agents. Yeah, everybody has people, whether they're agents or not. And, you know, those people are not really looking out for the guy. They're looking out for themselves as well as
their cut. Player. Yeah, so, that's right. They're 10% or whatever it is. Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, 10% of a lot is better than 10% of a little.
And, you know, if you're Gorey, you've got eligibility. You know, you're a freshman right now. And so you've got everything in front of you. So I have heard privately, and we've talked about on air, that there are people that say, you know, that Vance stays, Gorey stays. I hope that is the case. I really do. I just know, Jack, even never mind the money to aristocracy across the country, leave that alone for a second. We had a team come in here, and I want to ask you about Grand Canyon, a for-profit university who clearly has spent a good amount of money on NIL people. You can look at their transfers, right? So this is a team now in your conference. Now, admittedly, they won't be in your conference next year, but the same thing applies. Jack, they have got some money to spend that you don't have. And that's the thing that you and I have talked about over and over again. If this is going to work for the long term, if the assumption is, and I think it's a pretty good assumption, you're not putting the genie back in the bottle here. If NIL, the way it's structured right now, is with us for the long term, you have to play within the confines of an association, a conference or multiple conferences who all agree on a minimum and maximum cap. Without that, Jack, you run the risk of somebody running you right out of your own conference. I have brought up over and over again Kennedy, who was the softball player of the year at Stanford a few years ago, one of the great academic institutions in the world, and she was offered $600,000 to stay at Stanford. And Texas Tech, because they have an oil man, a gas man who has $4 billion to spend on that program, offered her $1 million. They backed it up with another $1 million. She never intended, when she started school, to leave Stanford to go to Texas Tech. I'm not knocking Texas Tech as an academic institution, but they're not Stanford. But, Jack, there's no way in the world, in her right mind, she could turn down another $400,000. If that happens within the confines of your conference, what do you do? Now, this was conference to conference, but this wasn't moneyed aristocracy to money aristocracy. It was Stanford and Texas Tech. It wasn't Ohio State and Michigan versus Alabama and Georgia. This was two schools that should not be at the top rung in that sport all the time, yet they are there because of NIL money. Stanford a little bit more because of academics. So what do you do if you're a Fresno State? Do you start getting on the phone administratively and say, we need to put together an association here that will play within the same confines financially, or we cannot compete long-term in any sport?
Yeah, I think that is. I think that's the first step. That certainly is. If you want to compete at that level, now we're not trying to compete with the Big Ten. You know,
that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about with the peer groups to make sure it's fair so you can compete. And you can't, if you're going to lose a guy, you don't lose him to a like member. Because, you know, as bad as it would be for Gorey to leave, it'd be really galling as hell if he leaves for Utah State, for instance. Okay?
Sure, absolutely. And I think you're right. You do. And once again, I know when I was talking with Jerry McCune, he said, in the Mountain West right now, obviously Air Force has no NIL money. I mean, guys are going to school for free. but outside of that, San Jose State has the least amount of NIL, and I think after that is us. So you have – and it wasn't like we didn't have anything. You know, Justin Hudson, when he was here, he was filling the timeout club. All I need is $200,000.
Right, $200,000
now doesn't even get you a player. So if let's say Vance was at 1.5 or whatever we were last year, that was at the bottom. I think you're going to have some kind of, you have to have, I think you have to have a floor, because if you have somebody who doesn't have any money and they're trying to compete, you know, I mean, you feel bad for the academies because there's no, you know, they're going to lose people like a high breeder, but they can't get anybody, and nobody's going to say, I'd like to transfer in as a sophomore and miss my plebe year at the academy. But outside of that, and maybe some of the academic schools, because you can't take a average transcript and transfer into Columbia. But outside of those schools, you're going to have schools that pay a certain amount of money, or else they're just going to be doormats. But you do have to have a cap. Otherwise, your preseason predictions might as well be based on the amount of NIL money schools have. And if you're at the bottom, you're just hoping that they make a mistake in giving money to the wrong people and you get it right by giving money to the right people. But that's not the way to go about, that's not the way to go about running an athletic program. I think you're right. There's going to have to be a cap. But if you have a cap, then you're back to what we had in the past, you know, where there was no cap, but people were just cheating. And, you know, when you have schools, and I know Harry Gakian listens to the show, and I don't want him to be upset because his grandkids go to Texas Tech. So even though you made mention of going from Stanford to Texas Tech is kind of a step down academically, which I think everybody would have to agree. Let's not upset Harry, because he takes care of a lot of the money for the university, and we want to make sure.
Well, what I said,
well,
Jack, I said no knocking Texas Tech, Harry, if you're listening. Not knocking Texas Tech. I love it because it is a college town, and they really support things. I'm just saying that on the female side, where there isn't a professional league afterward, okay, for softball of note, they have tried to leave a Stanford and to leave that degree behind to go to Texas Tech. There has to be a substantial financial incentive. And I would say this, $1 million deal backed up by another $1 million deal, it would be foolish to pass that up, because that is life-altering money to do with it what you might have to academically, or postgraduate work, what have you. And you can always go back to Stanford and get the rest of that degree.
When there's no professional softball for her to play.
That's just what I was mentioning.
Sure.
What I did want to ask you about, though, Jack, because it's going to have to be, we said before, it's going to have to be adjudicated somehow. You know, we talked the other day about, you know, you've got differing philosophical ideologies between Ted Cruz, for instance, and a Hakeem Jeffries or a Cory Booker, but they do seem to agree, no matter what the side of the aisle is, that you got to step up and get this thing solved. It's also going to take a lot more than three congressmen to get it done. But since we are where we are right now, I want to ask you about this Fresno State team at the moment. Where they have come from last year to this year, if you, and this is a really tough question, that's why I like asking them, not answering them, as you know, that's for you. If you're sitting administratively there right now, looking at the financial realities, looking at a team that is playing better, are you really seriously looking to make a change at the end of this year? We've talked about the contract over and over again. Or are you saying, if you're Saul, who has the ultimate authority, or Garrett Classy under him, are you saying we are moving heaven and earth to try to keep this train moving in the right direction with this same coaching staff? What are you thinking right now? Or are you saying, I'm just waiting to see how February and March play out?
I think you're waiting to see how February and March play out, because if you look at the standings, we have lost to every team above us. We have beaten every team below us. We need a signature win. That's why Grand Canyon was you know, so close, and that would have been a signature win. They're one of the top three teams in the league, and I think we'll certainly play out that way with San Diego State and Utah State. But we need a signature win, and if you have a signature win, and you got to take into account, especially if you're Garrett Classy, who's an athletic director and is new, did not hire the coach,
That's good.
I think you have to look into the crowds. The crowd was actually pretty good for Grand Canyon. If that can continue and grow, and let's say at the end, let's say you get a couple signature wins, you beat a couple teams above you, and the good news is we have plenty of opportunities because you have, you know, half a season and you're playing everybody pretty much other than, let's say, San Diego State at home. But you have the opportunity, and if you get a couple signature wins and you get crowds that get from 6,400 announced to, you know, 8,000, 9,000, yeah, I think you might want to keep people around because it looks like the program's on the upswing. If you don't get the signature wins, you end up in the bottom third of the league, you know, and your crowds dissipate, then maybe you think, yeah, I got to make a change. And Classy, as many athletic directors, may have a list of guys that he's interested in now because, you know, with Vance, the tough thing is that the guy who is his boss, his immediate boss, is not the guy who hired him. And I know every time in coaching, we'd all talk about that. When, you know, when athletic director changes and he's not the one who hired you, or a president changes and he's not the one who hired you, you better cozy up to him. That was the genius of George Raveling. George Raveling won 53% of his games, and every president absolutely loved him. And that president at USC offered him the athletic director's job. And George said, I don't want to get out of coaching to be an athletic director. He said, who said you have to get out of coaching? George said, don't you do both? He said, I'll let you do both for a few years. I mean, that if you have that kind of relationship with your president, then you don't have to worry too much about it. But it's not easy, especially in today's game where money rules. And I know prior to George's passing, when I talked to him, he said, there's no way I would be coaching now. It's what Nick Saban said. I can't coach a guy whose first question to me is, how much are you going to pay me?
Well, Jack, to be continued, a couple of things here. One, this team has got to shoot better than 21% from three or they're not going to win games. And it's amazing they're even in the game after a 14% first half. And I talked to, you know, Jackson yesterday, talked to Paul about it. This team needs to shoot better. They should be shooting better. They're shooting a lot of open shots. At times they're contested, but a lot of times they're just missing open jumpers. Hopefully they start making them. We will see what happens. The other thing is, to your point, and you're absolutely right, when the athletic director did not hire you, there is an inherent insecurity. But keep in mind, the person that did make the hire this time happens to be the guy at the top of the pyramid, and that was the university president. And that takes all pushes. That is why this is a critically important remainder of the season, the last month, and then into March. But it's going to be, I think, a very interesting decision to be made. Maybe this team will play well enough to make it a moot point, but right now I think you can make a case either way. I hope they stay the course. I think it's to the benefit of the program, at least for another year. But then again, I don't make the decisions, which, as I said yesterday, Paizan, is probably a good thing. Okay, I don't make decisions at home. I don't make decisions at Fresno State. I don't make decisions anywhere, and it's been that way for a long, long time. Not from a lack of trying, just an overall lack of respect for my opinion has been the problem I've had. All right.
Good job security, though.
Yeah, you're right. You gotta get along to go along, or go along to get along. Take your pick. Jack, I hope you're feeling better. I will certainly be in touch, and we'll see how it plays out. The team will be at Air Force on Saturday. By the way, the women are in Wyoming tonight. They will be home against Air Force at 3:00. So you can watch the men's game at noon on Saturday and then go on out to SMC and watch the women. Jack, appreciate it, my friend. Help people. Give you a call, 559-287-3305 for the Timeout Club, or FertigJack@AOL.com. Appreciate it, my friend. Talk to you next week. Take care.
Look forward to it, Tony. Thanks.
You got it. Our good friend Jack Furtig, always appreciate it. All right, guys, quick reminders here, and then we will skate on out. If you haven't heard, Roland Fulwood has been granted an extra year of eligibility. Wilson as well. We had already talked about Freeman earlier on. It's good news for that offensive line that Fulwood will be coming back, because all the depth the Bulldogs can muster certainly going to benefit them going into the new conference next fall. All right. Reminder time again. I told you guys over and over again about our great friends at KFC. I want to remind you again that they have the terrific offer for the $5 bowls underway right now. That's in the local KFCs, Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. You have your choice classic or spicy for these terrific bowls that are creamy mashed potatoes, sweet corn, melty cheese, and crispy nuggets all together in one bowl. You can go classic or the bold spicy flavor. Either way, you can't go wrong. Also, you can grab the $5 Maddie's Cheesy Nuggy Gravy Bowl. That's crispy nuggets, rich gravy, plenty of cheese. Boy, it sounds great right now. No shortcuts there either. Big flavor, big comfort, and just $5. This is available only for a limited time at those local KFCs in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. As always, it is finger-licking good. And if you stop in, thank them for support for all athletics across the valley. It is just terrific to have an international and national company with the local operators stepping up to benefit sport across this great valley of ours. The other reminder comes courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his fine business, Precision Civil Engineering. They afford me the time each and every day to tell you about the upcoming schedule on both 1430 and 790. I want to remind you again about Ed's great business, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof. 449-4500 or precisioneng.net for more information. And again, through the Lyles College of Engineering on campus, Ed is able to do some great fundraising. The goal is always to unify athletics and academics to provide more funding resources to students. It's worked beautifully over the years, and a lot of those graduates from Lyles College of Engineering on campus go to work for Ed at Precision Civil Engineering. As far as the schedule goes, Phil normally with you for 3 hours with his outstanding show Behind the Bench. It'll be 45 minutes a day because the Lakers are in Cleveland tonight, 3:45 the pre, 4 o'clock they'll tip it off. That game is also on ESPN television tonight. So the Lakers trying to move forward here in the standings in a very, very deep and difficult Western Conference. They are playing better ball as of late after having a flat spot, however. Also tonight, that game, by the way, on 1430, also tonight, the long-running show that Paul Metters has over on our sister station, the Deuce 790 Sunbird Sports Show, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics, 6 to 7 on 790. As far as information for Phil's show, ESPN Fresno, as always, 1430ESPNFresno.com, to be precise. Live links, podcast there, all the information you need. Get the app, makes it a lot easier to listen. On Thursdays, Phil is at Fashion Furniture with our good friend Rod Avedikian, another terrific benefactor for athletics throughout the valley for many, many years. The January clearance is underway right now at Fashion Furniture, El Paso across from River Park. Stop on in any day and check out the best furniture on the planet. Nothing like it in all of California. And on Thursdays from 3 to 6, Phil is there. You can stop in, ask Phil a question in person, or give him a call on the Lee's Air Hotline, 559-320-1430. You can do that every day. Also, Paul Metters not only has the Sunbird Sports Show tonight, but he has his long-running show on 1430 on Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon from First Ring Sports. That's Central Valley Sports Report. We are with you at 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number one, at att.net. A lot of Laker games still to come. Sharks as well. Celebrini playing great, and the Sharks are playing very, very well, so we're excited about that. But number of bad years for the San Jose Sharks, but with a young star like Macklin Celebrini, the future looks pretty bright right now. Also for us, a week from Sunday, it will be Super Bowl time from Westwood One, and we'll have a lot to say about that. In particular, Phil will, because all next week he will be at Radio Row up in Santa Clara, as, of course, the 49ers are hosting the Super Bowl, just not playing in it. That's because of what happened a few weeks ago at home against Seattle. But Phil will be there all week long with interviews and everything. Look forward to that as well. And then the final reminder is, again, anytime you need anything at all for Phil, 559-320-1430, the Lee's Air Hotline. And when we talk about the weather, I always want to thank our friends at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing for the time for that. in addition to Ed Dunkel and everybody at Precision Civil Engineering for the schedule, and those local KFC operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, really appreciate everything that those great sponsors do for us. So stay tuned for Phil. We'll be with you tomorrow with Matt Norville again. The women, 5:30 tonight on the Mountain West Network, themw.com, against Wyoming. I'll talk with Matt tomorrow about that. We'll also touch upon men's basketball as well. Thanks to Jack Furtick. Thanks to Jorge. Phil is coming up. Then the Lakers on KFIG Fresno.